As they're getting that settled, you can take your Bibles this morning and turn with us to Luke. Luke chapter 17. Gospel of Luke chapter 17 this morning, and we are, of course, in the midst of my favorite time of year. It really got started back on Halloween, not for the holiday necessarily, but that's the day that our Christmas tree went up and we started getting ready for the holidays. I just have always loved this time of year. And now this, of course, the week of Thanksgiving, which of course leads into Christmas, and then before you know it, really, the new year will be here and all that will be behind us. And I don't know about you, but it really does seem like and feel like time has just kind of flown by. It seemed like just yesterday we put out the table for the Operation Christmas Child, and well, now that's down. The boxes are turned in. They're off to where they need to go, or on their way to where they're going to go. And it just seems like things just rapidly move quickly and quickly as you, I guess, get older. But with Thursday, of course, being Thanksgiving, you know, there's, I've always struggled with themed messages, so to speak, because there's really so many different ways you can approach a subject. But Thanksgiving is really different in the respect that there's always something that we have to be thankful for. And this morning I want us to see just a little bit about that here from the Gospel of Luke. Of course, the Gospel of Luke was written by Luke, obvious, and undoubtedly he was the companion of Paul, as noted in several places in Acts, which of course Luke also wrote. We think that he may have been the Lucius that is mentioned in Romans chapter 16, but he was what is known as a Hellenistic Jew. He was from Antioch, or that general vicinity. And the name Luke, certainly, as you could guess, it's not a Jewish name. Luke is not a Jewish origin, ethnicity, background. But we also know that he was a physician by training. That was his trade, his career, as told to us by Paul over in Colossians chapter 4. And his gospel itself, the Gospel of Luke that we see here, it was written perhaps sometime in the mid-60 AD, and there's some traditional indication that it was written in Alexandria, Egypt. And if that is the case, though, it was likely done after Paul's death. It was done after Luke's departure from him. And it's been suggested that the Gospel of Luke is of the human divine one, in distinction to John's later gospel, which was of the one, or of the divine human one. And all the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all deal with a centralized theme. They all, they're synoptic in nature. They all tell the same story from different points of view, except that of John. John is different in that respect. But Luke's primary theme and the key phrase of the Gospel of Luke that you find throughout the book of Luke, in fact, it appears 26 times in the book of Luke, it is the phrase, the Son of Man. And that is what the Gospel of Luke is dealing with, Jesus Christ as the Son of Man. And it is presenting for us the human side of our Lord's ministry. And so in doing so, you will find that Luke traces the lineage of Jesus all the way back to Adam. And in doing so, he gives to us a detailed account of his mother, of his infancy, of his boyhood, of all of that. in order to trace his lineage. But notwithstanding presenting the humanity of Jesus, Luke is also careful to recognize on several occasions the deity of Christ. So yes, while he was fully human, he was still fully God come in the flesh. And Luke was very careful to keep that distinction in place so that we didn't confuse the truth of the matter that yes, just because he was a man, he was also still God. And perhaps the most well-known verse of Luke, of course, Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so that's where we find ourselves this morning. But more specifically, we find ourselves here in Luke chapter 17. And here we find a combination of direct teaching of Jesus. We find him teaching on faith. We find him teaching a parable of service. We find him performing a miracle in healing the 10 lepers. We find direct teachings concerning the advent of the kingdom of God. But for our purposes this morning, we want to deal with that fourth teaching that Christ deals with, and that is the miracle in the healing of the 10 lepers. And the account of the 10 lepers, as we're going to see this morning, illustrates for us a very profound lesson on gratitude, highlights the importance of returning thanks to God for his grace and his mercy. You're there, Luke chapter 17, and I would invite you to look there, beginning with me at verse number 11. Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse number 11, down through verse number 19. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. You notice that phrase there in verse number 16. The Bible says, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. For a few moments this morning, I'd like to preach us on this thought, lessons from the leper's thanksgiving. Lessons from the leper's thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you again for this day. And Father, we do thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to again come into your house on a Sunday morning to sing your praises and open your word, see a truth that might help us be the church and the Christian you'd have us to be. And Lord, this morning, may we see from your word the importance of living with a spirit of gratitude, living with a thankful heart for the things you have done for us. Lord, this morning now we pray that you will quiet our hearts, quiet our minds. Help us, Lord, to focus on you. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. May the words I speak be those of you and you alone. And Lord, this morning, if there be one here this morning that know not Christ as their Savior, we pray they not leave this church without getting it settled 100% sure that Christ is their Savior and that heaven's their home. And Lord, now for all shall do, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, the glory for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. There's several things I want us to see this morning. The first is the plight of the lepers. The plight of the lepers. And really their picture, their plea of desperation. Notice there, if you would, verses 11 through 13. verses 11 through 13, the Bible says, "And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and he entered into a certain village. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And so here we see their condition. Of course, we know lepers. They were outcasts in society. They were physically, socially, spiritually separated. Really, for all purposes, they were forced to live a very lonely life. By the way, over the last few months, we've talked a lot about typologies in Scripture. And when we see this leper in Scripture, we realize that this is a representation of our sin. Because you notice what it says there. Notice there in verse 12, "And as he entered into a certain village," of course, that talking about Jesus, "there met him 10 lepers," or 10 men, excuse me, "that were lepers." And notice the last phrase of verse 12, "which stood afar off." And so this leprosy kept them separated. It kept them away physically, socially, spiritually. It kept them away from everybody and everything, including here the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a picture this morning of our sin that kept us separated before God. For without Christ this morning, you and I were spiritually unclean. You and I were separated from God because of our spiritual leprosy known as sin. But then not only notice their condition, but you notice their cry there in the last part of verse number 13, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They called out to the only one that could help them, the only one that could change their life, the only one that could heal their condition. You and I this morning, we must recognize our need for mercy. We must cry out to Jesus for healing and for restoration. He's our only hope. Coming to church will not save us. Coming to service, Bible study, serving in the church, taking the Lord's Supper, being baptized, doing good deeds, you fill in the blank. Nothing we do can heal us and restore us to God except for His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see their plight, we see their plea, their picture of desperation, but then we see the power of Jesus in His promise of healing. Notice there in verse number 14, "And when He saw them, He said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." And so we see here, Jesus gives them a very simple command. Jesus tells them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." This teaches a very simple truth this morning. That's just this, that obedience is the first step in receiving God's blessings. Listen, even before the healing was visible, they obeyed His word. Yeah, again, you notice what it says. When He saw them, "Go to the priests, show yourselves to the priests." It came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So we see all indications here from Scripture. Jesus said it, and they did it. That's a great lesson for us this morning. To learn that when Jesus says something, when God says something, when Jesus shows us something, when God shows us something, when the Holy Spirit shows us something in His Word, that you and I, we just need to do it. We just need to obey it. We just need to listen to it. I think it's Naaman. Naaman was another leper in the Old Testament. And Naaman comes to the prophet. And the prophet gives word to go and wash himself 7 times in the Jordan River. Now, the difference between Naaman and the lepers here, Naaman, instead of obeying immediately as the prophet told him to do it, he said, but behold, I thought. And see, that's where we find ourselves in sometimes, isn't it? God tells us to do something. We read something in his word. We know that it's clear as day. And we get the idea, well, behold, I thought. God, I know what you said, but here are some of my ideas. I think I know better. Listen, folks, we don't know better than God. That's why he's God and we're not. And aren't you thankful you're not God? Aren't you thankful I'm not God? Man, that's a scary thought, isn't it? And isn't it a scary thought for you to be God? Listen, that's why I'm glad he's God. And that's why I'm glad he knows what he's doing. And when he tells us to do something, we ought just to do it and obey him. And so we see the command Jesus gave to him. And then we see the cure. As they went, they were healed. And we see that God's promises are fulfilled when we trust and obey. And it's his grace that brings restoration to our lives. But then we see the return of one, which gives for us this portrait this morning of gratitude. Notice there, if you would, verses 15 and 16. The Bible says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. The first thing we see is the recognition. One leper saw that he was healed and turned back to give glory to God. You see, this morning, gratitude begins with recognizing God's work in our lives. You know, this Tuesday night, we're going to have that time for testimonies, but if we're honest with ourselves, every service we gather, we could have a testimony time and give thanks to God for something God has done for us in our life. This week, this month, this year. Because so often we fall into the trap of, you know, God has not done nothing for me lately. I use this illustration all the time, but it is apt and it bears repeating. You woke up this morning, didn't you? How many of you ate this morning? Anyone eat this morning? Have a little breakfast before you came out? Hey, who gave you that food? Lord gave. You say, no, Pastor, you don't understand. I went out. I worked for that food. I have the ability and the talent to work, and I got a paycheck for that work, but okay. Which gave me the ability to buy that food. Okay, but who gave you that ability to do that work? Who gave you that strength to do that work? James, the Bible tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above. Everything that we have this morning comes from him. Every single thing. And gratitude begins with recognizing God's work in our life. If you're here this morning, you are a representation of God's work. God has done something in your life that you're sitting in a church on a Sunday morning to sing his praises, to worship him, to hear his word preached, because there is something that God has done in your life. When's the last time you thanked him for what he's done in your life? Well, we see the recognition, but then secondly, we see the rejoicing. The healed man, he glorified God, and notice what it says there. In verse number 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. And notice what it says. And with a loud voice, glorified God. It's a great thing to glorify God, but he didn't just do it quietly. You know, when we go to prayer, and one of the ways we're taught to pray is to give God thanks for the things he's given us in our life. And that's our personal, that's our corporate time. But here it says he glorified God with a loud voice. When's the last time you made your thanksgiving for God and to God for things He's done for you public? When's the last time, God has just been so good to you and you just couldn't stop talking about it, and it got to the point where you talked about it in front of friends and family members, and it got to the point where maybe some of your friends and your family members said, "Hey, would you shut up about some of that God stuff? I mean, that's what this man was doing here." With a loud voice, he honored and glorified and gave praise to God. Listen this morning, true gratitude will lead to public praise. It will lead to public worship. As Christians this morning, we should not be silent in our thanks to God. But not only do we see the recognition, the rejoicing, but then we see the reverence. We see the reverence. You notice what it says there. In verse 16, "And fell down on his feet." "And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks." He fell right on his feet at Jesus' feet, showing to Christ humility and reverence. You see, thankfulness should be marked by a humility. It should be marked by a worship before the one who healed us, who helped us, who cleansed us, who forgave us our sins. Because without Him, we would be lost in those sins. And we'd be on our way to a very real hell. So oftentimes we think, man, we're God's gift to creation. We're no such thing. We're sinners saved by the grace of God. That's all we are. And the fact He saw fit to send His only begotten Son to die on a cross for your sins and my sins, when we go before Him, it should be, yes, Hebrews says we come before Him with boldness, before the throne of grace with boldness, but there needs to be a humility about that. There needs to be a worship about that when we come before Him and say, "Lord, just thank You for, first of all, saving a sinner like me. Lord, thank You for waking me up. Lord, thank You for food on my plate. Thank You for the church where I come to worship and pray, socks on my feet. Thank You for, all the small blessings that You've given me in my life." You know, listen, it may seem small to you, it may seem small to others, but I guarantee you to God it was big. And listen, if it's important to you, it's important to Him. And we need to just be thankful for those things. But we see the reverence this morning. But then fourthly, we see the question of Jesus and this probe of faith. Notice there, if you would, verses 17 and 18. Verses 17 and 18, "And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And now, keep in mind, Jesus is asking this question, but Jesus isn't asking because He needs the answer. He knows the answer. But He gives the inquiry here. He says, and asks, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? You see, Jesus is concerned with our response to His blessings. You see, He seeks not just the healing of our bodies and our soul and to give us blessings, but He wants to know the gratitude of our hearts. How often and how many times does God bless us with something and those blessings go unthanked for? That God gives us something and we don't so much... Listen, one thing Mandy taught me, because I never did this all the time, we go out to eat somewhere, and before we pray for our meal, or before we eat, we pray for our meal. Well, I thought that was just something you did at home, not in public. Well, I remember the first time Mandy and I went somewhere and we got something to eat, and she said, "Okay, we got to pray." I said, "What?" And so from that day on, we pray. And we pray for, listen, even if you go to McDonald's and you get that crappy cheeseburger, "Lord, thank You for this cheeseburger, blessed to the nourishment of my body, because I know, Lord, you're the only one that can. Okay? But listen, even if you go get that crappy cheeseburger, the Lord allowed you the money to go buy it. Lord, thank you for this meal. Lord, thank you for providing my needs today. Lord, thank you for providing me something to eat, nourishment. Thank you for providing for me. It's often been said, what if tomorrow you only woke up with the things you thanked God for today? What would you wake up with tomorrow? We need to be sure to give him the thanks and the glory. But not only do we see the inquiry, we see secondly the insight. You see, Jesus, he recognized the absence of the nine, emphasizing that they had failed to return thanks. You see, this morning many received blessings from God, but they failed to give proper thanks. Gratitude should not be neglected. But then fifthly, and finally this morning, we see the praise of the one, a picture of perfect thanksgiving. Notice there, verse number 19. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And so we see first here the restoration. Jesus told the grateful leper, thy faith hath made thee whole. See, faith and thankfulness, they're closely connected. They're intertwined. They go together. They're like peanut butter and jelly. True healing goes beyond the physical, and it reaches to the heart. You see, thankfulness is what can lead to that deeper, more complete restoration. And then we see not only the restoration, but we see the reward. You see, the one who returned, he was made whole. While the others, they received physical healing, but they missed out on the spiritual restoration. You see, anytime you see that phrase there that said in verse number 19, thy faith hath made thee whole. That's just not talking about the physical. That's talking about a spiritual. And this man, this leper, not only found a physical healing, but he found a spiritual healing as well. And it's gratitude, it's thankfulness that opens the door to greater blessings and a fuller relationship with God. There's several things we see from this text this morning. Number one, thankfulness is rare, but it ought not to be. Thankfulness, though, when given, glorifies God. Thankfulness also causes God to give more. You notice that in verse 14 through 19. But then thankfulness was commanded by God. An old Arab proverb once said this, I had no sock and complained until I saw a man who had no feet. The story this morning of the 10 lepers teaches us the importance of recognizing God's mercy, responding with gratitude, and returning to God in worship. You see, this morning, while many receive God's blessing, it is those who return with thankfulness, those who return with gratitude, that experience just not healing, but true restoration. And so not just this week, but all year round, let us strive to be like that one leper who returned. Don't be like the other nine. Be the one. Offer your thanks, your praise to God for his amazing grace. Simply put this morning, examine your heart today. Are you one of the 10 who received God's blessings? Are you the one who returns to give thanks, or are you one of the 9 who received God's blessings without giving thanks? Or are you the one who returns to give glory to God for His mercy and His grace? I trust this morning you'll seek to be the one. And this coming week, as we celebrate Thanksgiving and family and food and football and all the rest, let us not forget to give thanks and honor and praise and glory to the one who it's due. Because when we stop to think and we stop to remember, He's been so good to us. When's the last time we stopped to give Him thanks for those things He's done for us? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together at our feet.